Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In Eden, God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." Adam needed Eve, and all of us need each other. That's why the church is called the Body of Christ, an interdependent fellowship of believers. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the inheritance of the redeemed, gifts given to every believer in Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we hear more about the gift of the church.
But we need one another, the unity of the body. First characteristic of the body is there is unity. Secondly, there is diversity. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. Well, how would we walk if the foot was upset with the fact that it was a foot and not a hand? And then that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. What if the ear should say, I don't belong to the body? What if the whole body were an eye, verse 17? What would you do? You'd prop it up on the couch, and all that it could do all day is watch TV. If the whole body were an eye, can you imagine that? And then it says, if the whole body were an ear, what would it be? Well, you shut off the TV and all that you can do is listen to the radio. What Paul is saying here very graphically is this, that we come to the church with differences. It is not just merely racial differences and political differences, but it has to do with gifting and aptitude. And if we had time, we'd explore this passage where it talks about various gifts that the Holy Spirit of God ministers. And what Paul is saying is that just because some gifts are more prominent than others, that doesn't mean that they are more important. And we must realize that we are called to these differences. We are called to diversity. And that diversity exists within the church. It also, by the way, exists in marriages. This past week, I was in Florida. I preached seven times this past week, and a guy came up to me and he said, my wife and I can look at the same clock and still disagree as to what time it is. There are differences even in marriage. I hope that that gets resolved, by the way, because there are some things couples should be able to agree on. But the point is that we are not the same, and everyone connects some way within the body. And if you physically are unable to serve, you also are important to the body because you are giving other opportunities to people to serve you. In other words, the body must function despite its differences, its aptitudes, and its gifting. There's unity, there's diversity. And there is also, you'll notice, interdependence. Now, notice this. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again to the head or the feet, I have no need of you. You know, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. But the whole point is that the parts that we see, the parts that are exposed, the parts that are hidden, they are all absolutely necessary and interdependent on one another. If I were to stumble when I'm going down these stairs, if my feet were to stumble, my hands would reach out and try to save me and do all that they possibly can to mitigate the blow. By the way, I had a very serious fall a couple of months ago, fell backwards. My hands were unable to help me. Think of falling backward on concrete on your head. Amazing. But I survived that with no permanent damage. At least that's what the doctors tell me, for which I am grateful. But my hands, if I had fallen forward, they'd have said, look, we'll be smashed, but we have to protect the head. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we as a body of Christ acted that way? That we are willing to sacrifice for others and say, I'm putting myself out for this person over here, this weaker part of the body, this needy part of the body, because I am a part of the body. And Paul goes on to say, verse 26, if any member suffers, all suffer together, for one member is honored, all rejoice together. And you rejoice as if their exaltation and blessing is your own. Can you imagine that if we were so free of sin that when we saw somebody with more money or more exaltation, we rejoiced as if it was our own? That's what the members of the body of Jesus Christ do. You get rid of all the petty stuff, all of the image building, all of the need to feel that you have to outdo someone. Because when one member is honored, you're honored. When one member is going through a trial, you are there and you are participating. When I was about, I guess maybe 18 or so, I was helping my father build something on the farm. And I was hammering spikes. I mean, I'm talking to you about 2x4s, if you know what those are, nailing them together with spikes that were probably 3 inches long or maybe longer. Well, this wasn't my cup of tea. That kind of work was never my fastball, so to speak. But I was doing it, and as I was leaning over and hammering with all my might, I hit this finger. We didn't go to the doctor that day. We waited till the next day. But isn't it interesting that only my finger hurt, but that night all the parts of my body were awake to keep my hurting finger company? I never slept one wink that night. I could have said, well, you know, the finger's hurting, but my legs aren't, so let me sleep. No. Are we willing to stay up with people who are hurting, even at great personal cost? That's the way the body is supposed to function. So the Apostle Paul says that there is a unity that comes about because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and one image of the church is the body. There are other images, of course, and we're going to very briefly look at two others, and now we're turning to the book of Ephesians. And in Ephesians, what we find in chapter 2 is the fact that the Apostle Paul talks about two other images of the body, and we'll see where this is going. The passage of Scripture that was read to us comes from chapter 2, and I'm just going to lift out a phrase or two. We are members of the same family. You'll notice he says we are members of the household of God in verse 19. The household of God. We're members of the same family. And as the Apostle Paul develops this thought earlier in the text, if we had time to read it and to look at it more carefully, what we discover is that Paul says that he's taking Jew and Gentile who hated each other. Jew and Gentile, something like Arabs and Jews. Certainly we can think in terms of racial hatreds and racism, and we can pour all that into this text. And the Apostle Paul says very clearly that God has made us into one new man. Boy, that impresses me. That's in the end of verse 14 and 15. He has created in himself one new man in place of the two. What that means is that in the reconciliation of the church, it is not that the Jews had to become Gentiles or the Gentiles had to become Jews. God says, I am building a transnational community that transcends all this, and you don't have to become one or the other. You stay who you are, but you are united in the body, in the family, together, and I have created the new man. Which means that when we speak about racial reconciliation or other kinds of reconciliation, blacks don't have to become whites, whites don't have to become black, Asian don't have to become Latinos. We maintain all of that identity, but there is a fundamental family unity that transcends all of that. And I love the phrase read it last night, says God killed the hostility. The Church of Jesus Christ should mirror the kind of unity and reconciliation that kills hostility between races, between the rich and the poor, between the educated and the uneducated, and that hostility has to be put to death. And Jesus says, I have already done that if you only accepted it and acted on it because you are members of the same family. He says, by one Spirit we have access to the same Father. We have the same Father, God. We have the same brother, Jesus. And we have the same companion, the blessed Holy Spirit of God. So we are definitely unified in our relationships within the family. And what we must do is to emphasize that. Now there's another figure of speech. We talked about one body very briefly. I talked about one family. There's another figure of speech here that I want us to understand, and that is one temple. You'll notice it says in verse 19 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of God's household, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together. Well, this is Pastor Luther, and of course you have to listen to the broadcast next time as I continue this message entitled The Gift of the Church. It's part of a larger series, by the way, entitled The Inheritance of the Redeemed, Blessings That Belong to All Who Trust in Christ. But what I want to emphasize today is that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, whatever might divide us, whether it is geography, race, perhaps we're divided in other ways economically, the fact is that in Jesus, that which binds us together is stronger and should be very evident despite our differences. That's the thrust of 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul talks about the unity of the body and the unity of believers. I want you to take out a moment now and consider your relationship to your local church, to your brothers and sisters. Perhaps you've had some bad experiences in church, because obviously, churches are not perfect, unfortunately. But bow your knee today before God and say that you are willing to accept your brothers and sisters, oftentimes overlooking their faults, bringing about forgiveness where it needs to be, so that the unity for which Jesus Christ prayed and the unity he gave us would be lived out in our individual lives.
The Church Universal is a spiritual building the Bible calls a temple. Each believer is a stone, making up a part of the walls and structure. Next time, more about your part in the church founded by Christ. The Inheritance of the Redeemed is an 8-part series we'd like you to have on CD. We'll send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.